Oh, good morning. It's good to see you. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to 1 John chapter 2. They're here in my pocket. Do you want? Prefer I wear them? I really only need them for driving, so. And a little bit of help for reading. So. All right, it's a beautiful day the Lord has given us, and so far, it's supposed to rain a little bit, but we'll see if that happens. But 1 John chapter 2, and I'll pick it up at verse 18, 1 John 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And so, Lord willing, we will get through some of this passage this morning. And so first, though, let's look to him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for each one who's able to be here this morning and for an interest in the Word of God and in knowing you and proving in our walk with you and growing. We pray that you will help us, Lord, and open our eyes to the things of the Word of God. We realize that many things interfere with that, certainly love for the world and perhaps other things going on today, distracting things on our mind, the cares of life, so many things to take our mind away from spiritual things. And so we pray you'd help us with that, as well as with the dullness that we seem to have to spiritual things, that we might be aware and that these things, Lord, might make an impression upon our lives. The Spirit of the Lord might be able to enlighten us and use these things. We pray, Father, bless this time and open to us the Word of God that we might understand it and help us to apply it to our lives properly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. John the Apostle, the one that Jesus loved, as he's titled in the scriptures, he's the one that's being used of God and guided by the Holy Ghost to write these things that are written here. And of course, this is not the only book that John has written. Of course, John wrote the Gospel of John. John wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and John wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the book of the Revelation. And there is much made of the Antichrist and much said about the Antichrist. And it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, the word Antichrist occurs 0 times. Never. As a matter of fact, the only time Antichrist is used in the Bible at all is in 1 John and 2 John. So in these epistles here are the only time there's ever a mention of Antichrist. And so I think that's significant, as the Lord used him to write the book of Revelation, which most of us will say that's all about what the Antichrist is doing in the world, but he's never called the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. You'll notice he says here, Little children is the last time. Now, interesting, we looked earlier as he said, you know, I write unto you, verse 12, little children, I write unto you fathers, and I write unto you young men. And in those verses, those things are all dealt with. But here in 1 John 2 and verse 18, he specifically just says, little children. It is the last time. And many people believe in John's often use of little children that he is referring to people that he has led to the Lord or that have been saved under his ministry. And certainly that's a viable understanding of that. He wants us to know, though, about what time it is. It's the last time. We're in the last time, he says. And he doesn't say how long the last time is going to be. He doesn't say if it's going to be, you know, so many years or generations. And obviously, we know that it's quite long because it's still the last time. And so he says, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Now, probably making a reference to our Lord and some of his teachings, that though he didn't use the word Antichrist specifically, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So John's using the word anti. The word anti can mean instead of, and we know that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to promote himself as being the Christ, really. And the Jews are going to accept him as their Messiah and believe that they finally found the Messiah. And they're going to suffer obviously for that. But then he will go in the middle of the tribulation. He will go into the temple that will be rebuilt, and he will declare himself to be God. And then the Jews will realize that at that time, and because of the persecution that he will bring on them, that he is not the Christ. Of course, they have missed the Christ, but thankfully we have found him. But John says, he says, you've heard that he's coming, but even now there are many antichrists. And so anti is used in the sense here not of someone pretending to be Christ, but of someone being against Christ. And so anti can be used that way as well. And like we use antiperspirant, for example. You use that on there so that limits how much you sweat. And we understand that. It's against that. And so that's how he's using it here. He says there are many people who are against Christ, and then he'll go on later on to explain a number of things about that. But he's talking about the false teachers of the day. He says the last time, and there's lots of false teachers and people who are against Christ. And he says, whereby we know that it is the last time. In other words, this is how we know that we're in the last time, as there are so many people, false teachers and the like, that are saying things against the Lord, and a number of false teachings that were going around in that day. And so then when we go to verse 19, he says about these false teachers, and this is a key thing to know about them. He says, first of all, they went out from us. Well, wait a minute. They originated in the church, he said. In the church is where these terrible false teachers have come from, and under the ministry of Christ. But he says, they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, if they'd been 100% like we are, they would have no doubt continued with us. He said, but they went out that they might be made manifest, which means to show something openly, to show something for what it is. That they might be made manifest, they were not all of us. They were not the same of us. And so these false teachers were for a time part of the church. In order to be part of the church, they obviously claimed to be saved. Probably they were baptized. They looked good and they sounded good. And for some time, we don't know how long, but for some time they gathered with all the other Christians. And that's the way it is. Even our Lord told the story about the kingdom. And in the parable of the kingdom, he said it's like throwing out a net. And it gathers a great number of fishes, some good and some bad. And always where there is the truth, there will be those who will prefer to have a lie. And we're always there as what is those who are actually on the Lord's side. Apparently, there are always some who are just pretending to be on the Lord's side. The perfect example of that would be the 12 disciples. Imagine you're already thinking that. And Judas was there, and no one ever suspected that Judas was the traitor. I marvel at that over and over again as I read in the scriptures, as the others never thought it was him. He looked good. And evidently, he looked as good as one of them. Yet he was a thief. He had the carried the purse, as it were, for our Lord and his earthly ministry and donations that people would make along the way. And he was stealing all the time from them. So anyway, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked and alarmed. If it ever comes out that, in any church, a good church, even a gospel preaching church, a solid, a good stand on the Word of God and a separation from the world, and that yet in there you could find some people that are just going along with it, and they have their own agenda, and when it comes time for them they have opportunity seemingly to put forward their agenda, then things happen, and if the church continues to take a good stand on the Word of God, they go out, and that's what he says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And so they were part of the church, and they left, because they were no doubt not of us. When he says of us, it's obviously he's referring they weren't saved. If they were saved, if they were all of us, they would have stayed. They would have stayed in the church. But they showed openly that they were not saved because they left. And they didn't just leave. They left in order to oppose the work of Jesus Christ. And they left in order to do damage. Now, as the years go by, in a church, people come and people go, and that's just the way it is. You try to help people as a pastor while you can, and while people are there, but different things happen, and jobs change, and people move to different parts of the country, and it happens, and it's part of life, and you have to accept that. But that's not what we're talking about here. Oh, and even sometimes people will get offended. I mean, they're good Christian people, but they get offended. Recently, I heard of, and not to point fingers at women, because this could have happened to men, but the story that I heard was about two women, in a church, they just didn't get along, and they just wouldn't make their differences right. And I don't know which one was at blame, but you know, one who had been there for a number of years and a good servant of the Lord end up leaving. I hate cell phones sometimes. Should have got smart and turned it off before I got up here. So I know these ladies, and you know, so the one left, and that's very unfortunate because, you know, she was a blessing to the ministry, and it's too bad. Sometimes that happens, though. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about, you know, people left because they got their nose out of joint or got their feelings hurt or couldn't get along with someone. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about somebody who left in order to now oppose the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that it's not just talking about, you know, any reason why someone might leave. But they opposed Christ, who had once been members of this church. And so that no doubt hurt a lot of people and did a lot of damage. And so he says, little children, remember, it's the last days, and one of the things you will see is this. And since there have been many antichrists, he says in verse 18, then this is the situation. Now, saved people stay in the church. And unless, of course, the church leaves them. As a general principle, saved people know they belong in the house of God. And sometimes we can get backslidden, we can get away from the Lord, and maybe turn our back on him for a while and not surrender to him like we should. But we might get away from church for a little time doing that, but we come back. The only other... When I was pastoring in Newfoundland, we had a wonderful lady in our church, and her name was Mildred Hodder. She's gone home to be with the Lord now, I hear. And Mildred Hodder was a widow when I pastored her, and her husband had passed away for a number of years, and they had served the Lord in the church for quite some time. But when Mildred Hodder was raised, she was raised in a different denomination. And in the denomination that she was in, an old mainline denomination, when she was a child, it was good to preach the gospel. But as she got older, other ministers came in, and they were liberal didn't believe the Bible and didn't believe in trusting Christ as their Savior and preached, that you can get to heaven by good works, which is a lie. And not one single soul will ever be in heaven by doing good. Only those who have trusted Christ and his shed blood for their sins. Millie's friends used to call her up. They called her Millie. And say, Millie, you left your church. And Mildred would always say to her friends that she had growing up and in that church, she would say, I did not leave my church. My church left me, she said. And I always like that because, I know what she was saying. The church at one time preached the gospel and taught the scriptures, and then they went away from that. Well, and then it just became a religious group, I guess, but no longer seeing people saved. And so she wasn't raised Baptist, but she came to the Baptist church because they believed the scriptures and served the Lord there the rest of her life. And wonderful testimony. And a wonderful testimony to her friends as well, because she wasn't going to take that. She had left the church. She said, I didn't leave the church left me, because it left what the things of the scriptures. And so, but these people left because because they turned against Christ. And so these are the people that are being spoken of here. And so, you know, if you're saved, you will continue in a church. And if the church, goes away from the scriptures and is no longer a biblical one, then you go and find a biblical one to go to. That's what you do as a child of God. And be part of church somewhere else to serve the Lord. And even when we backslide, as we come back to the Lord, if you come back to the Lord, you come back to his house as well and to serve him. And so he says that about the false teachers. And then verse 20, he says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Now this verse seems to, you know, he's talking about false teachers, and then all of a sudden he's talking about this work of the Spirit of God. Now an unction means a special endowment. You have a special endowment of the Holy Spirit, he says, and ye know all things. You know all things about the Bible. Not necessarily all things about the world or all things about science, but the work of the Spirit of God is to minister to us with the Word of God. And you have a special endowment. Every saved soul, every single person trusting Christ as their Lord, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. All saved people can know the truth of the Word of God. Now, why is this verse here right after the false teachers? Well, think about it. The false teachers are saying what? They're saying false things. These antichrists are saying things against Christ that are not true. Now, as John, obviously, John the Apostle, also a pastor, how do you protect against that? I mean, can you always be there when someone is saying something that is wrong about Christ to someone in your church? Well, obviously not. So how can you protect God's sheep from false teaching? Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a very personal work. Everyone who is saved has this special endowment of the Spirit of God giving them clear views of Bible doctrine. And that's what the unction is. And the ability to know all things. All saved people know the truth when they hear it. Sometimes even, when I'm preaching, I've been known to say that the odd time. People are looking at me funny, I will say, "You know that this is the truth, because, you know, I'm preaching it right out of the Bible." And all saved people have that special endowment to have a clear understanding of things in the Bible and not follow false teachers and not swallow the errors. Also, when I was pastoring in Newfoundland one time, I had a fellow who was part of a denomination that is actually a cult. I don't know what his, why he had gotten to know me somehow. And I talked to him about the things of the Lord, but all he could talk about was the things that he believed that were wrong about the Lord. So one time he even came to my office in the church in the morning and sat down, tried to straighten me out. Didn't work so well. Tried to straighten me out to his particular wrong beliefs about the Savior. And so he had a list of scriptures that he went through from the Bible that were all out of context, or, you know, something was twisted. It wasn't what the Bible was saying. But anyway, from these scriptures, he was going to show me things that, you know, Christ wasn't God and all this other nonsense. And so I began to show him how the scriptures he was using, he was saying, what he was saying was not what was written there in the Bible at all in the context of what it was written. And I said, you have swallowed this, but because he's not saved. And so, you know, he's just a religious man. And, you know, he'd gotten swallowed up in the teaching of the cult, and he was out defending all the lies that they believed. And I said, you know, you swallowed all this up. I said, and none of it is the Bible teaching. But God's children don't do that. God's children don't do that because you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You know what the Bible is saying. You might not be able to, if when you're talking to someone, to find the right chapter or verse to defend it. But if someone's telling you some false doctrine about the Lord, you know that it's wrong. And so you don't swallow up the errors that are going around. Like those that he said who went out from us and they came up with the lies of the Antichrist. You know all things. Now, what are all things that we know? Well, we know all things that are important to salvation. We've just, you know, even if you're a new Christian and just came through that, you'll know those things. But more than that, you can know anything in the Bible. I gotta be careful how I say this. I don't want to sound like I'm lumping our pastor in with this. So please understand, I'm not saying anything negative about the pastor, but never let someone who knows Greek or her Hebrew make you feel that you don't know the Bible like they do, because that's nonsense. You have an unction from the Bible, and you can know all of the things that are written in the Scriptures. When I was in my first year of Bible college, we had a devotional that we did with the students on our floor. And so every now and then it was my turn to lead that devotional and basically preach a little sermon and that sort of thing. Also, they had these, in those days, they had these handout devotionals that, you know, you could work through on your own if you wanted and use that as a basis for your own personal devotions. And many people just took that and used that when they were speaking and doing the devotions for the floor in your dormitory. So, anyway, one of the times there was a scripture that came up in that, and I had been studying it, and then because it was in there, I had a roommate, Roland Milanese, and he was in his last year, I believe, and had, you know, spent lots of time studying Greek. And so I wasn't into it yet because that's a second year course, and I was doing my first year. And so, anyway, here we are. As it turned out, we both studied the same passage, him with all of his Greek education that I didn't have yet, and you know, me with a Strong's Concordance and a Bible. And so I got up and I gave my devotional, and then at the end of it, he was mad at me, angry, my goodness. Had to have a talking to, because apparently he thought that I had taken all his notes. Well, I hadn't read any of his notes. I had no idea that he was making notes on the same passage of the Scriptures as I was. And lo and behold, I didn't say anything wrong. There I am with just my Bible and just my Strong's Concordance with the lexicon in the back that you could look up. If you wanted to look up the meaning of Greek and Hebrew words, you could look it up. And I was right on. He thought I had taken his notes because I had preached exactly, apparently, what he had studied and what he had come up with. Why? Because you don't need that to study the Bible. You don't need Greek. You don't need Hebrew. You can use the lexicon if you want. That'll help you. You don't need to know it to be able to do that. I have it right here on my phone. I just use my phone for Well, ever since I've been doing this class, I only use my phone to study the Bible. And I have a program there called My Bible or something. I can look up Brown Driver's Briggs, which is a trusted lexicon on the Old Testament. I can look up Thayer, which is a trusted lexicon on the New Testament and the Greek side. And I can look up Strong's, which is good for either the Greek or Hebrew. It's very, very good. And so you can know all things. And so you don't need Greek and Hebrew training in order to know the Bible. The King James Bible is God's preserved word in the English language. I'm not going to argue with you about that if you don't believe that. If you read and study the King James Bible, you will come to that conclusion because it speaks for itself. But you can know all things. You have all you need already because in order to study the Bible, what you need is help from the author of the Bible. And that's what it's saying you have. You know all things. You can know all things if you will spend time praying. And by the way, if someone gets up and preaches with their, or teaches with their Greek and their Hebrew, and they're going to say something from the Bible, it might be as dead and lifeless as anything. And someone else without all of that might have spent the time in prayer for God to open their eyes and might bring out great spiritual keys and wonderful transforming things for your life. It's not those who know the original languages that are the only ones that are able to preach or teach God's word. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You recognize the truth, and you see those things that are written there. And probably these Antichrist teachers were saying they knew more probably than John knew, or than somebody else knew, or that the people in the church knew. And never let anybody do that. There are likely people who have spent more time studying the Bible than you have, or they've spent more time reading the Bible than you have. But you can know all things with the study of the Scriptures and with prayer and the help of the Holy Spirit. You can know all things. Now, when he says you can know all things, let me expand a little bit on what things you can know. You can know any truth that is in the Bible. But you obviously cannot know truths that are not in the Bible. You don't know all things in the sense have some people use them. We were looking to buy a building for our church, and it was some sort of a charismatic organization that had owned the building for. And when we were looking at the building, the people were there talking to us, and they had closed their church. But they had this book. And they had this book that some woman in the church, who claimed that she was a prophet, wrote down all these things in addition to the Bible. If you ever find anything that somebody has written down in addition to the Bible, throw it out. That is garbage. It is satanic. That is not from the Lord. And I was really surprised that this organization that I thought was a gospel organization had these so-called prophecies in addition to God's word. And there's a special judgment when you read the last chapter of the Bible. There's a special judgment on anybody who adds to the word of God. God will add things to them, punishments to them. But so it doesn't mean any new truth. God's special unction from the Spirit of God is not going to teach you something that isn't in the Bible, but will open our minds to the various truths of the Bible. It does not mean that unction, if we are stubborn and unteachable, that the Holy Spirit will necessarily teach us, but it's there to help us. Now, I've got a few minutes, and if you can't keep up to me, please write down a couple of references that that might help you. First of all, I'm going to go to Psalm 92 and verse 5 and 6. Psalm 92. Let's look at this truth throughout the Bible because it's not just here. Psalm 92. Hold on, I don't have it yet. There's a 92 in here somewhere. Psalm 92, verses 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Now, wait a minute. God's words are deep. They're not something that a natural man, an unsaved man, can really get a hold of. Really, the only things that you can really understand are the things to do with salvation. When you're not saved, you're not going to understand everything in the Bible. And he says they're very deep. But a brutish man, a brutish means like a beast, like the cow. The old cow, you know, she doesn't have very good understanding. And a fool doesn't understand this. How great are the thoughts of God? How great are thy work? And how wonderful are his thoughts? They are very deep. And so you need the help of God if you're going to understand the thoughts of God that are presented in the Bible. Over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs, you're just right there next door to it. Proverbs 28. And verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand what? All things. All things. Now, evil men, they don't understand the judgments of God, the decisions that God has made. But they that seek the Lord. Oh, yes, we're seeking God's knowledge and the help of the Spirit of God. You can understand all things that are revealed here in the Scriptures. Go to the Gospel of John now in the New Testament, if you would, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John 10. And then look down to verse 4. John 10, 4. He's talking about this Jesus being the good shepherd and his sheep. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is a key statement. Why can the shepherd get the sheep to follow him? They know his voice. They follow his voice. And in those days, many times at the same well or at the same stream, a number of shepherds would come with their sheep and water their sheep. Now, how in the world do you get all your sheep back to follow you, you know, with you again to leave and not have some of somebody else's sheep? Well, he explains how, you know, this is how it was done. You just call the sheep, and the sheep recognize your voice, and they follow you. And because you'll notice in verse 3, he can call his own sheep by name and lead them out, and they follow him. Verse 5, and a stranger, this is the false teacher, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know the voice of God. You know the truth of the word of God when you hear it. John chapter 14, if you would please. And we follow him and through this world, and we don't get mingled up with the people of cult, because we recognize the voice of the Lord in the Scriptures as we hear preaching or teaching. John 14, verse 26. Our Lord says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and he came at Pentecost, he shall teach you all things. Oh, wait a minute. Not some things. He's going to teach us all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, he's not going to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said to his disciples. This is specific to his disciples. But he still teaches you all things, and he still brings things to your remembrance. And so if you've spent time reading the Bible, if you've spent time studying and memorizing the Bible, how many times will the Lord bring to your remembrance what you have meditated on or what you have memorized, and from your memory, the Lord brings to us what we have read and memorized before. The Spirit of the Lord is doing that. And so you can understand the Scriptures, and so you'll be reading in one place, and you'll stop, and you'll think about another Scripture that has to do with that. And that's how I'm able to put a few Scriptures together many times. Not with a concordance. Well, sometimes a concordance to find it. I know the verse I want, and I'm not very good with the references, but I remember what the Bible says. And so you can find it. And so where are we here? John 14. So go to chapter over. It's John 16. Two chapters over. John 16, and pick it up at verse 12, if you will. The Lord says, I have yet, to his disciples, many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's interesting. And see, when you hear a sermon, sometimes, like, some of it goes over your head. Maybe if you're a young Christian, it's like, oh, didn't understand what he was talking about there. And some of it is like, oh, I need to hear that. And you know that it's good. The Lord says to those disciples, I have many things to say unto you. A lot of things to teach you yet. Is that what he's saying? But you cannot bear them now. Why? Because they haven't grown enough. They don't have much experience yet. You know, you're young. Not necessarily young in age, but when you get saved, you're a youngster spiritually, and you have to grow. You can't understand all of the Bible the moment you're saved. You don't understand everything in that. That is a progress. That's a thing of growth. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? All of it. The Spirit of God works in every saved soul to guide them into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God is still guiding us into all truth. And he does that for everyone who is saved. And so nobody can say, well, you know, I can understand the Bible better than you can. Well, you know, here's a kick in the rear end to go with that, because, you know, that's not true at all. Any one of us can understand the things of the Scriptures if you put the time into it, and the prayer, and the attention, and the study. You can understand anything in the Bible, and you can grow and mature. It doesn't mean that, oh, now we don't need to come to church because, you know, I can study that at home. Because the Bible commands, the Lord commands us in the Bible, to forsake not the assembling ourselves together. We need the fellowship of others. We need the constant teaching of the Word of God. And obviously you don't have all the spiritual gifts. You have one or two, perhaps. But you need the whole body of Christ to minister to you, and you need the preaching of the Word of God and those that God has called to do that. And so you still need church, but you can know all things. And 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm just about out of time, but I got to look at a couple of things here. I will give you the whole passage of chapter 2, I've got to go quickly here. Let's go verse 9. But as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, you don't know the things that God has prepared for you of yourself. You don't know of yourself. Even if you're saved, you don't know it of yourself. But verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God could teach you For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So even the deep things in the Bible, the Spirit of God is searching those things, and he's teaching us with those things. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so, the things that nobody knows from the Bible, the Spirit of God knows, and he can teach you those things. But otherwise, you could not learn those things. You could not learn the Bible without the ministry of the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so if you spend time in the Word of God, you can freely know these things. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And things spoken in the Holy Ghost can be so helpful to us. And then verse 14, but the natural man, this is a man unaided by the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So an unsaved person, they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can't teach them. They think those things are foolish. Verse 14, if you go a little further, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, and he does not have the Spirit of God. And so, you know, this is the problem where someone is in a church and they're pretending to be saved, but they're not saved. Eventually, you know, the spiritual things, everybody else understands them because they have the Spirit of God, but this one doesn't have the Spirit of God, just pretending to be saved, he just can't get it, or she can't get it, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Spiritual things are understood with the Spirit of God. And there's no other way to know them. And so if you understand them, you can't say, oh, you know, look at me. You know, that's the work of the Spirit of God. You need to thank God if you can understand something from the Bible, because you know, they're spiritually discerned. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And no one can boast about those things because you don't naturally get it. There are other scriptures, but I'm out of time. So if you're writing things down, Isaiah 44, verses 16 to 20. Isaiah 44, 16 to 20. The Gospel of John. John 7, 15 to 17. John 7, 15 to 17, and the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, where it talks about, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
What is the number in Isaiah?
44, 16 to 20. And so all of these scriptures speak about how you can know the things of God. You can know the scriptures, and I have to leave you with that. But you know, that's how we are safe from false teaching. That's how we are blessed at church, because of spiritual ministry that the Spirit of God works in all of us. And so thank you for your attention. I've got to stop. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures and the work of your Spirit in our lives, and the privilege that is ours to know all things. And we pray that we could stand on the things that we know in the Word of God. Thank you that we do not have to be deceived by those who are speaking things that are not the truth. And we pray you'll bless us in these things and in the service following. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.